Greetings, brothers and sisters, in this season of the preparation for the coming nativity of Christ. In today's gospel, we see the situation where Christ heals this woman on the Sabbath day, and so we can see the divine love of our Lord Jesus Christ in the healing of this woman contrasted with the self-love and envy and fury of the ruler of the synagogue. And in his homily on this gospel, Father Milorad, whom many of us know, in his new book that just came out, Spiritual Sketches, says that the ruler of the synagogue showed spiritual blindness. He did not have any pity in his heart. He did not see the meaning of this miracle. He did not feel that this woman had been freed from the enslavement by Satan, which she had endured for 18 years. He focused his whole attention on the Judaic law. He was afraid that someone would transgress the law. Why did he do that? Out of self-love. His attention to the observance of the law, therefore, was actually fighting for his own position as leader. He wanted to be the one who needed to be asked and who made decisions. He wanted to be the center of attention. And for this reason, because of his self-love, he could not see the suffering of others. So if we look a little more closely into what is this self-love, what's the problem here? After all, didn't the Lord tell us, love your neighbor as yourselves? You know, so in a sense, he's saying we are supposed to love ourselves. While it's true that we're created in God's image and we should love that which is holy in us, that's God's image, and of course we should take care of even our bodies so that we can maintain health and strength in order to serve God. But we can see that the self-love of this ruler of the synagogue was the sinful disposition of selfishness, envy, and pride. For example, giving to charity can be a good thing that can help transform self-love into real Christian love for God and neighbor, but it has to be done in the right spirit. Long time ago, I worked for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. You know, they provide volunteer help for poor children mostly, or kids that don't have, you know, they're missing a parent. And one of the board members suggested that I call this particular law firm, thinking that they might be willing to make a donation. Now, this law firm had represented the state in one of those tobacco settlements, and so they had made a lot of money. And I called the law firm and you know, began talking to this man about all the good work that Big Brothers and Big Sisters was doing in the community, and could they help with a $5,000 contribution. And at first, the guy I was talking with was sounded pretty positive, like they might be interested in helping. But then he started to outline all the recognition that they would need. They would need a full-page newspaper ad, they would need television, radio spots, and so on. And as he was talking, I was realizing that we've just spent the contribution on all the recognition. And so finally, I just said, well, you know, this is actually about trying to help the kids after all, you know. And at that point he said, oh, yeah. And, we didn't get the contribution, but it wouldn't have mattered because it would have just been a break-even situation because all the money they gave would have gone to the recognition. So that's kind of an example of maybe not giving in quite the right spirit. Now, it might appear that the ruler of the synagogue was only doing his job. I mean, after all, you know, he was trying to encourage people to uphold the law of the Sabbath properly, and, you know, weren't supposed to do any manual labor on that day. But because of his self-love and pride, he was spiritually blind and could not understand the spirit of the law. St. Cyril of Alexandria says, why did he command men to rest on the Sabbath? In other words, you know, God. It was that your servant, ox, horse, and cattle might rest. But tell me, what kind of work did the law forbid in commanding you to abstain on the Sabbath day from manual labor? Does it forbid the labor of the mouth and speaking? Abstain then from eating and drinking and conversing and singing psalms on the Sabbath. But if you abstain from these things and do not even read the law, what good is the Sabbath to you? If, however, you confine the prohibition to manual labor, how is the healing of a woman by a word a manual labor? But if you call it an act because the woman was actually healed, then you also perform an act in blaming her healing. So St. Cyril kind of, you know, nails this on the head and shows that this was really hypocritical of this ruler of the synagogue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, St. Paul writes, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We can see that unless we have an understanding of the spirit of God's laws and commandments, we can be technically right in observing the letter of the law, but miss the whole point and gain no benefit from it. And then St. Ambrose of Milan says that this infirm woman prefigures the church, which, when it has fulfilled the measure of the law and of the resurrection, straightened to an uplifted dignity and that eternal rest, will not be able to experience the bowed state of our infirmity. Nor could this woman be healed in any other way than by fulfilling the law and grace, the law in precepts and the grace in baptism, whereby we die to the world and rise again in Christ. For perfection is in the Ten Commandments of the law, but the fullness of the resurrection is in the number 8. The Jews' accusation is refuted by their own act, for although they themselves loose the bonds from their animals on the Sabbath, they rebuke the Lord who set men free from the bonds of sin. So, even this number, 18 years, has significance, as everything in the Gospel does. So we see that there's 10 and there's 8. And this 10, the Holy Fathers say, refers to the Ten Commandments, which on that side of the equation is the law, which is the right thing. But this number 8 is often referred to as representing God's grace and resurrection and the future age when Christ comes in his second coming. So brothers and sisters, let us rejoice in the great love and merciful kindness that our Lord shows to those of us who are infirm in body and spirit. And let's ask his help to more fully acquire that Holy Spirit so that we can better see how to fulfill the Holy Commandments and receive healing and benefit. Glory be to our God.